ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this special Solaria Report. I'm joined today by a wonderful candidate, Roy Raymer from West Virginia, who's running for Secretary of Agriculture. You have met with him before. Pete Kennedy, Roy has had you on the Solaria Report twice now. And I am an enthusiastic supporter. I finally got to meet you in Pittsburgh. We had a wonderful gathering of subscribers in Pittsburgh. And I got a message from one of our team. He said, oh my God, somebody wants to bring this candidate. And it sounds like he'll just take over the meeting. And I said, well, who is it? And they said, it's Roy Raymer from West Virginia. I said, fabulous. Anyway, so you came and some of your supporters came because you're just right across the border from Pennsylvania, right?
And that's right.
And it was really a thrill to meet you. And so I invited you to come on today because I wanted to, I got a message from Pete Kennedy and he said, we've really got to jump in and support Roy because an indication of the power and importance of your candidacy is you're now inspiring true opposition. Is that fair to say?
That's very fair to say.
So now you have two people running against you in the primary?
That's correct.
Oh my God. And how much money have they raised?
I'm told that the incumbent raised $150,000 and this other new guy, his daddy is very wealthy and gave him $100,000 to play with for the election.
Oh my God. So you're up for a race like this. This is real money.
It's real money to me. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, I sent another donation. Okay. So I've sent my second donation and I would encourage anybody listening to this to consider doing everything you can to support, whether it's prayers or donations. But first, let's explain why it's so important, because I know everybody's listening and saying, well, what? Why do I care about West Virginia? You know, I'm in Texas. I'm in Wyoming. I'm in Montana. Why should I care about West Virginia? I have spent a lot of time in the last 2 or 3 months at state legislatures, and I have seen the bill debate over agricultural policy. And it's one of the most frightening things, Roy, that I have ever seen. If you look at what the pharma food guys are trying to do at the state level to mess with agriculture, and if you look at what state enforcers are doing to mess with farmers, what is the debate over food and food freedom and food quality and food labeling disclosure is extraordinary. And the reality is, you know, this, I don't just eat food from Tennessee, I eat food from all over. And if the food coming from West Virginia is going to, you know, be great or not, it matters to me. It matters to the food supply. Anyway, so that's a little bit my speech. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you think it's so important, this position, the Secretary of Agriculture at a state level.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me on my show. And just to give everybody a little bit of an orientation, my name is Roy Ramey, and I'm running for Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of West Virginia. So who am I? First of all, I'm a Christian, and I'm a family man. I have a wonderful wife who's been with me since just before I went to Iraq. We have a wonderful teenage daughter that we homeschool. And it's really because of my family that I'm even on this mission, because I believe that we need a lot of change and that I'm the right guy that can bring this change when others have not.
I would like to point out we need healthy kids.
Absolutely.
We need healthy children. You right.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. So in that pursuit, and that moves me on to the next pursuit, you know, we became farmers 16 years ago. I grew up farming and I thought it was hard work and we didn't make much money and I didn't want anything to do with it. So I went to college and after 4 years, which included me growing some food in my yards where I rented for college. You just can't get that out of your blood. I decided, you know what? That farming thing wasn't so bad. I think I'd like to get back to it. It took me a little while because another thing that I was involved in was the military. And I spent 33 years in the Army. I started off enlisted, made it to E5, and then crossed over, received a commission, and made it to Lieutenant Colonel by the time I retired. So I had a wonderful career in the military, But I got to see a lot of things, some good, some not so good. I saw how the government worked. And at one point I thought, you know, this is all pretty good, but I didn't agree with all of it. And I came back from a military tour. I was on an active duty tour for 3 years, and we had already been farming ourselves. And when I got back, we had a new commissioner of agriculture in West Virginia, and I started seeing a lot of heavy regulations. And I thought, man, this just isn't right. What's this all about? You know, and it included, we'd always had a prohibition against raw milk, which is a passion of mine. I think that there's a lot of nutrient food density in quality raw milk, and we should have the right to choose that for ourselves. And we didn't in West Virginia. It was wholly illegal to include an express prohibition against using it for pet food, which is kind of a get-around model in a lot of states. Well, right. You know, we were so draconian here that they prohibited that. And then the commissioner was pushing the Food Safety Modernization Act. And there was a lot of heavy meat regulations that just kept getting worse. And I saw all this that was stifling farmers in West Virginia and decided this isn't right. And as I was getting my farm geared back up again from being gone for 3 years, I decided I needed to run for commissioner of agriculture after hearing how things were going and that I could do a much better job. I intended to use my number one core values, you know, and I guess nobody thinks that they're themselves as an evil person, but I feel like I've got pretty good values that my dad taught me as a kid growing up. That was where I got some of the good core family values from, as I had a great childhood. And then that was reinforced in the military, of which I had a lot of respect amongst the troops that I served with and the men and women who served under my command in a few cases. I felt like I had a really good reputation amongst them. So I put all that together along with my regenerative agriculture practices that I learned from our mutual friend, Joel Salatin. He does a wonderful operation there. And I thought, just like we have good people values, we need good values in agriculture. You know, rebuilding the soil, building growing animals that are healthy and have great immune systems, and that makes better food for all of us. So I put all that together and decided that I can do a better job at this when the incumbent that's there just isn't willing to make those changes and give us more freedom. So that's kind of what got me on this push to start with.
We had a wonderful series last year with Charlie Stevens on energy. And Charlie Stevens was in the Navy and then buried himself away at state government, where he studied energy policy and tried to really understand what was happening with energy. And he was trying to figure out, okay, how do we really solve the problems of the world? And his first conclusion was, we have to cancel the rackets. So he calls the secret governance system and the amount of money that's coming out in warfare or organized crime is the rackets. But then he said the second thing we have to do is we have to convert from regenerative farming, I mean, from industrial agriculture to regenerative farming. And if you look system-wide at what that one change would do, it would simply revolutionize so many things, including helping us have healthy kids and healthy families. So I was an investment advisor for 10 years, and I came to the conclusion the number one thing destroying family wealth in this country is, I call it the great poisoning, but the food supply and the water is a very important part of this. And you can't turn that around without turning around who the Secretary of Agriculture is and what their values and understanding of the world is. And so if you look at your background, you are someone whose experience and qualifications and credentials and network make you an ideal candidate from my point of view. And it's one of the reasons Pete Kennedy, who runs our food series, is so enthusiastic about your candidacy. So tell us a little bit about the election. How many people vote in the primary? Because what we see in most states is, you know, you don't get a huge turnout for the primary, but in many states, the primary is in fact the election that determines who really wins the position, not the general election. So tell us about the numbers on your candidacy and the primary election. It's going to be in August. No, it's going to be in May.
Correct. Yeah, we're actually, today is 60 days away from the primary.
Right.
I don't know when this will publish live, but as of the date of recording, we've got 60 days. That'll be May 14th is our primary in West Virginia. The general is the same for everybody in November, but the primary is different in each state. So that'll be a Tuesday. And there are three candidates running on the Republican ticket. One of them is the incumbent, and he has been there for two terms already. We don't have term limits for the ag commissioner race in West Virginia. We had a previous commissioner that served for well over 40 years in total in the ag commissioner spot.
Mm-hmm.
So he's passed on. And we've had some turnover. But three of us that are running in the 2020 election, when I ran, I got 38% of the vote, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But there was 190,000 plus or minus about 1,000 that voted in the primary for the Republican primary. And I had done some assessment for the election prior to that, 2016. And I assessed that I needed about 70 or so thousand votes in order to win. And one of the things, and I got 68,000 votes,
mm-hmm.
Got me the 38% that I quoted earlier. The thing with that is I hadn't done an assessment further back in history to analyze that the Republican primary was getting larger each four-year cycle. And right. So I missed that part, and I went back and done some assessment, and I see that it's growing each cycle because Republicanism is growing in West Virginia. So taking that into consideration, there was 190,000 people that voted for the two of us last time, and there were only two running then. And so I'm anticipating, based on the trajectory of growth and statistics for the changeover to Republican, that they'll probably be in the neighborhood of 200,000 to 220,000 total voters amongst all three candidates this time. So, we got to get 50% plus one to get it locked in.
Right.
If it's divided by three, you know, is it equal or is one candidate much higher or much lower than the others? We don't know that yet. I have my my views, but I'm locking in on the 50% plus one. So that's going to be roughly 100,000 plus one, up to 110,000 plus one that I would need in order to lock in that 50%.
So what is the best way between in the next 60 days for you to reach those voters and communicate, connect with them?
There's multiple ways that I need to get that message out, which would include radio, digital, and just signage along the highways.
Right.
I've got a lot of people asking me for signs for their yards. And I know of places along the highways that are highly trafficked that I can put in, you know, small-ish, you know, it doesn't have to be a billboard, but like 8-foot signs along our road networks. And so those, the combination of those three is the fastest way. Because I'm a low-funded candidate and I've done grassroots methodology for the last 5 years now, which included the last election, word of mouth and social media has been my primary means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's done pretty good, but I need to step up that game for sure. And any funding that I would get from folks around the country would actually help to be able to get those other means that I would need to exponentially grow the messaging.
So what are the things that, who is the Secretary of Agriculture in West Virginia is important to me? Now, I'm in Tennessee, and there are two reasons why it's important to me, and that is my food doesn't all come from Tennessee. It comes from all around the country and all around the world. And so the quality of the food in neighboring states is very, very important. And of course, the quality of the policies impacts our policies in surrounding states. You know, if a state to the right is doing something, then we want to know about it, and it's going to influence the feasibility. You know, if West Virginia is getting smart about regenerative farming, it helps us to argue for the same thing in Tennessee. So there's a lot of feedback between the different states, both in terms of the actual food as well as the actual policies. But the other thing is, I'm seeing more and more move by the states to do regional compacts and to work together on different things. And so I know that if I want a certain kind of momentum where I live, I need it all over the country if I can get it. And I would say it this way, we are in a fight, and every person who's willing to step up and lead in the way that you are doing is somebody we need to support. You know, our leaders in this fight are invaluable, and we need to support them. So to me, this is also a call to support leadership in whatever state they're running. You know, everyone is precious, and the more we have, the better. Anyway, so that's my pitch. But you tell me, why is it so important to everyone in the country and around the world that we have somebody fighting for these policies?
Yeah, so let me start by talking about the regional thing. You know, regionally, Joel Salatin and Polyface Farm is just across the state line from me. Now I'm on the other end of the state, but he's only 4 hours away. And years ago, when I learned about him and what Polyface was doing, I went there to learn these practices. So it wasn't like I had to go to another country or even across the country. So that was important to be able to go see a real example of not just a guy that wrote a book and I read a book, or a guy that said, do what I'm telling you, but I could get on the ground and get my hands dirty. And, you know, I actually went and butchered chickens at his farm during some of the on-farm processing. And I brought those principles back to my farm. So it was easy enough to do. And I think that we can spread it, you know, in similar manners. And as far as the compacts go, you know, West Virginia is a unique state within the Appalachian area. And we have several other adjoining states that has important economic hubs. West Virginia typically doesn't have the best economy, and we're known for that. So, you know, I think that we can support the major hubs in other states by producing food and then sending it to those other large metropolitan areas that have a demand for the kind of quality food that we have the capability and the capacity to produce. So it's important for us to have an agreement with our neighboring states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maryland, Virginia, Kentucky, and a little bit further by extension, you know, other Appalachian states. You're not very much further away, even though we're not directly connected. We actually have in a farmer's market that I'm on the board for in Huntington, West Virginia, we have products in there from Tennessee.
Right.
So Tennessee is an important neighbor state, even though we don't have a direct connecting border. And there's several other places like that, that we can produce and ship our products. They don't have to go all the way to California, but further away within our region still, that makes it a local region. Now, why should we be doing that on our own when we have national organizations and governmental bodies like the USDA, otherwise known as USDA, in the words of our friend Joel South? Because they're not helping us. They're a heavy hand of regulation. They're supporting the industrial food operation while they're small farmers, and they're suppressing the best interests of the consumers within our very states. And people like me are not beholden to the industrial system. We're not beholden to Washington, D.C., or any of those large multinational conglomerate interests. We're interested in supporting the people in my state, first locally, and then in the state as a whole, in my case, and the small farmers, and making sure that our interests are met. You know, you first have to take care of our own family, and then our community, and then our state. You know, and you start small, and I think that's what we've gotten away from in this globalized society. So when you support somebody like me, you're supporting somebody that has a will to do that, and will affect our neighboring states. As things are fixed here, then, you know, it'll start growing and expanding, you know, not from the standpoint of being global per se, but from the standpoint of if it works local, other people are going to see what we're doing and say, I want some of that freedom.
Right.
You know, give me some of that. And then it happens in other small states. And then pretty soon you start seeing it in mid-sized states. And eventually it's spreading across the country that everybody wants their piece of freedom. And I think that when you see legislation, good legislation that passes in states, and we see this with gun laws, there's a lot of states who are codifying and reinforcing their own gun rights. You see this with drugs in some cases, You know, we have the Colorado who, whether you agree with it or don't agree with it, they have set their own laws with marijuana and hemp, despite what the federal government says. And there's other states that are codifying banking laws. And I know you're heavily engaged in working that, where you're saying we can do better at our state level. And so right. when you see that people are doing that and codifying it, it's going to start spreading everywhere.
Right. So our focus, as you know, is on financial transaction freedom. At the same time, there are component parts of achieving financial transaction control that, and I call it the control grid, which are part and parcel. So you cannot control the financial transactions unless you control food. And so there is a very intimate relationship between financial transaction control and control of the food supply and the quality of the food supply. And it's one of the reasons we have spent so much time on the Saleri report focused on food, because what we want is to be free. and the, you know, our focus on financial transaction freedom is not a focus on money. It's a focus on freedom. And so So one of the things we know is the push to control food is coming from the same place as the push to control financial transactions. One of the reasons we don't want financial transaction control is we don't want them telling us and mandating that we have to, you know, eat insect-based food. And because I think if you read our pharma food, I think their marketing plan for synthetic-based meat, insect-based food is in fact control of your financial transactions. So there's a very intimate connection.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Roy, I just wanted to do this because I know you have 60 days and it's very important to us at the Saleri Report and our network that you win. And it's very important to us that we show our gratitude for your efforts because you are fighting for every one of us. So I'm a donor. I've donated twice. I'm endorsing your candidacy. I am pleased to know you and support you. I anticipate seeing you at Rogue Food the week of your election because we're going to be at the Rogue Food Conference at Polyface Farm. Another great freedom fighter for food freedom is Congressman Massey. He's going to be there too.
Yep.
It's kind of like a gathering of the clan, if you will.
Yes, it is.
And so I'm really planning at the gathering of the clan of supporting your election or your primary election. We'll celebrate your ascendancy to the Republican candidacy for Secretary or Commissioner of Agriculture in West Virginia. Is there obviously what I'm asking everyone who watches this, please keep Roy in your prayers. If you can donate, great. If you're in West Virginia and can volunteer staff support, Roy, how do they find your website? How do they connect with you? How do they make sure they're doing what they can do to help?
Yeah, thank you. So my website is rameyforwv.com. That's rameyforwv.com. And my email is roy@rameyforwv.com. And that's the best way for folks to get a hold of me. And if you go to the website, one of the first things is a donation link at the top. And then as you scroll down, everything is a simple one page. You can find out who I am and what I stand for in kind of a bio, my platform. And there's also some photos and there's video interviews that I've done in the past. If you want to find out where I stand. And you mentioned Congressman Thomas Massey. For people that maybe don't know who I am or what I am, a lot of people know Thomas Massey.
Yeah.
And I liken myself to him in that politically, he is my twin brother. And so when you wonder, what does Roy Ramey stand for? I can just reference, if you've seen anything from Thomas Massey, that's exactly the same things that I would stand for, advocate, vote for. So it's kind of like I don't necessarily need to make my own videos because I can reference that, and that's me. So anyway,
yeah,
you've got an MIT degree, and I don't.
We think Massey's terrific. Okay, well, if people want to put out street signs, is there a way at your website they can sign up for for volunteer work locally within West Virginia?
Yeah, the best way to do that is just to send me a message that they want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a plan on my website, but I'm behind on getting all the neat stuff. You know, I'm not an IT guy myself, so I wasn't able to build that into the website. The best thing is just to ask me, and I get all of the emails. It's not like it's going through some staffer that's monitoring that. So it might take me a few days to get back with you. I generally respond pretty quick, but sometimes I get behind on my travel schedule, and I've got a lot of speaking engagements the next couple months. So just be patient with me, but that is the best way.
I do want to say, if you're in West Virginia, make sure to vote. Get out and vote.
Absolutely.
Yep.
That's the number one thing, and I'm glad you said that. The number one thing is for voters to go out in the primary and vote.
Yes.
I'm running against the incumbent. I've said that already. He's going to get a lot of votes just because he's the incumbent. You know, we understand when you're fighting against the incumbent, you know, that's just part of it. But he's done a lot of not supportive things, and people are seeing that. So I do have that to my advantage. We've lost 1,122 farms in West Virginia just during his past 7 years. So, you know, people are starting to see that, and hopefully they'll understand. But the primary is where this entire election will be won or lost.
Yep.
Because there is a Democrat opponent who's not known. The Democrat Party had the option to throw up a candidate, and nobody even knows who this person is. So it's not going to be fought hard in the general. Everything is, it's all in at the primary right now. So I appreciate any support from anybody.
Just be careful. We had a great sheriff race many years ago, and it was all in the primary, and we won in the primary. And then voila, magically, they took the guy who lost and flipped him into the general and put major money behind him. We whooped him again. But If you look at the amount of money that is vested in total control and needs food control to be part of that, you know,
sure.
Never say they can't.
Understand.
you can't get surprised in the general election. And I would just affirm that, because it's so important everyone listening to this understand, you know, how much power and money is at stake here. And that is why Roy has jumped into the cauldron and is fighting for you and me. Control and freedom happen one person at a time, and each leader is precious and valuable. So Roy, I can't thank you enough for what you're doing. We want to support it in any way we can. And I just invite everybody, whether it's prayers, whether it's donation, whether it's staff support, whether it's volunteer activity, or whether it's voting, you know, whatever you can do, we really are grateful and appreciate it. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Saleri Report. I look forward to celebrating your victory at the Rogue Food Conference at Polyface Farm in May, Roy. God bless you.
A glass of milk. Raw milk.
Raw milk.